Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, January the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. That's my first slip, 2026. Have you made that mistake yet? Old year just hangs on, doesn't it? Well, I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Friends, we're waking up to wisdom in this new year. We're working our way through the Proverbs, 31 chapters in 31 days. And I trust you're reading that chapter each day before or after we join together here in this little meeting with the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of God. He's our teacher. He's our rabbi. He's our Lord. He's our God. Guys, we're throwing it all in. It's why every day we begin in consecration. Right? You ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the door is unlocked and open. The shop, the store is open. We're meeting here now with Jesus. Today's entry is entitled, Cover Less Ground, More Slowly. Our text is Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. My son, my daughter, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The celebrated Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, once remarked about reading scripture, cover less ground more slowly. It's a wise word. One of the short rhyming sayings I often speak to the children at my church is this one. Bit by bit, day by day, the word of God will light our way. Kind of reminds me of another one of those proverb-like sayings that we have in the Psalms. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To, quote, keep words and to, quote, store them up and to, quote, guard them as the apple of one's eye calls for a long, slow, and steady pace. It's far more like a close familial relationship than a crash course. Today's text, after all, tells us to say to wisdom, you are my sister. And to insight, You are my relative. How about that? Something there. Somewhere along the way in the modern church, we began reading Scripture with the goals of speed, mastery, and personal relevance. We want to read the whole Bible in a year or less, and we want to gain immediately applicable, relevant biblical knowledge to solve our problems and make us better people. Those things aren't bad things. I guess I'm questioning is, are they wise and best? This isn't really how biblical wisdom works. I'm with Brother Lewis, that was his actual name, also known as Thomas Merton, when he says, cover less ground more slowly. Dwell on these words. Ponder and pray through them. The goal isn't to quickly delve into the text in order to extract something out. Rather than extraction, we need an immersion approach. The hope is to become immersed in the Word of God to the end that the worldview of wisdom slowly begins to shape our view of the world and our vision of God. It's not about leaving our world to go into the Bible to get something to take back out to our world. No, it's about a fusion of the horizon of Scripture with the horizon of our own lives and communities. As we read our way into the Word, the Spirit will lead our path into the world. I often find my own prayers can wear me out. I get stuck in the ruts of my own words and weary of seemingly going nowhere with them. When I, quote, keep and store up the wisdom of God in my heart, it has a way of getting me unstuck. These words are substantial and dense with meaning. They are going somewhere, and I am relieved of the burden of finding the way. My work is to follow after them. I often find the simple practice of slowly storing up the wisdom of God in my heart doesn't feel all that spiritual at the time, but it always leads to a more authentic life in the power of the Holy Spirit. I find my own well-intentioned intensity and earnestness gets in the way more often than not. Wisdom is not simplistic, but it is a simple way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the wisdom of heaven on earth, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You are my wisdom, and I am your witness. I want to know you better today. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our journal prompts today: how are you keeping and storing up the words of God in your heart? If you're not actively about this work of storing up the wisdom of the Word of God in your heart, then where is your wisdom coming from? That's a pointed question. I mean, it's coming from somewhere. I get so many emails of you know, these, and they're not bad. I get all kinds of emails, and frankly, the truth is most of them, many of them, they're Christian, but they're really self-help. Okay, they're really self-improvement. And I guess I don't mean to knock that. I'm just saying that's not the same thing as transformation, okay? Self-improvement is trying harder to do more to be better. It's can we just call it? It's slavery. It's actually just enslaving yourself to a better vision of yourself. Transformation is becoming yoked to the Son of God, the transcendent one who comes into our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us a vision of the truly human one, the God-man, Jesus Christ. It's be thou my vision. Like, I don't need a better version or better vision of me. My life was made to live out the vision of him. That's different. And all the sort of self-improvement, self-help stuff. I mean, the bottom line, guys, self can't help. Self can't improve itself. This is why we need Jesus. This is why Jesus brings his word and his spirit to bear. And he transforms us, right? God became like us so that we could become like him. One more bit here before we sing. Dad's on his way over. You know, my dad, he lives about 10 miles away. Mom and dad live on the Arkansas River, a little village called Pendleton. And that's 10 miles from Gillette. We make the trip back and forth a lot. And he's on his way over. He's going to help us sing today. But I did want to say a word. I mentioned the Read the Bible in a Year thing. And you know, I've tried that before. I've done it before. I mean, it can feel like a death march, just a forced march. I mean, I love, you know, Tara Lee Cobble. She has what's called the Bible Recap. And, you know, people often think that's reading the Bible in a year. And I guess some people do. Most people just listen to her tell you what the Bible in a Year readings are about in a quick 5-minute summary, which is a remarkable thing. It's a gift to the church, clearly, and millions of people are involved in it. But, you know, her words, just like my words, aren't any more the word of God than the sky is. It's the word of God, right? And it's a chore. If you want to try to read the Bible in a year, be my guest. I don't think it's the best approach. Cover less ground more slowly. If you're doing it, fine, go for it. Everybody ought to do it at least once in their life. I'm working with our Wake Up Call team on a 3-year, the 3-year Bible. And, I think we've already launched. Let's just say we started with Proverbs, and in February, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to layer it alongside what we're doing here. We're going to read one chapter a day for 3 years. Cover less ground more slowly. I mean, why? Who's holding the gun to our head on 1 year? Again, don't hear me knocking it. Your church may be behind it, and if they are, amen to it. I'm behind it too. I think you get my point. Let's make sure we're not just trying to check a box here. This is the wisdom of God. Okay, are you ready to sing? I am. Here we go. All right, everybody. We got our favorite worship leader here today, David Walt. And Dad, today on the wake-up call, we're teaching about the need to slow down when you're reading God's Word and not try to cover too much ground.
That's a good point.
You know, it's like I teach our kids at church that little saying. I taught it to my kids when they were growing up. Bit by bit, day by day, the Word of God will light our way.
Great.
And I just remembered, you know, growing up, you would be always in there early in the morning with your Bible open, reading a little bit of the Bible. And then learning to stand on it. If you read so much, it's like you don't even know what you're focused on.
No.
It doesn't say running on the promises, does it? What does it say?
Standing.
Standing on the promises. That's what we're singing today. What's our hymn number?
434.
This one is five verses, and you'll know it. It's familiar. It's a great hymn for the new year. Standing on the promises of God. So, are you ready to sing them?
I'm ready.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing.
Standing on the promises of God.
To the chorus.
Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the eyes sail, I live in the fear of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I can and fear.
Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me.
Standing on the liberty where Christ was free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Number four.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord.
Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail.
Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen to that.
That's a classic, isn't it?
That's a good one. They'll be singing it. They'll be lipping it in church. They won't know the words all, but they'll be trying to get them.
Well, I appreciate getting to stand on the promises with all of you. And I'm hoping that you're working on finding and asking the Lord to lead you to your new word for the new year, your new word from Scripture, right? Not looking for a word like, you know, perseverance or that's a good word. I'm talking about a Bible verse, okay? My word to the Bible's words are like Peter is to Jesus, okay? We need a word from Scripture. So be asking him to give you a text, and I'd love to know what it is. Okay, well, it's time to call it a morning because we got now sowing to do. Mm-hmm. We got to hit the fields, and we got to, you know, that's the crazy thing. If you're standing on the promise of God, if you're standing on the word of God today, you know what? There's always room for somebody else to stand right
there
right with you.
You can scoot over just a little bit.
You can just scoot over, and they can stand with you.
That's right.
Because they perceive that solid.
And you know, you got to ask them because they're not going to want to do it. Because you ask them, they say, oh, no, I can't. Just say, come on.
Come on.
And the next thing you know, in the second verse, they'll be singing it.
They'll be singing it. That's good. All right. Well, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we will see you where?
On the field.
We'll see him on the field.